Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you today. This is Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Bruce Musselman today, and I appreciate you continue to pray for him and his ministry, and I'm just thankful that he gave me the opportunity to sit in. He had an appointment today and was afraid that he would not be back in time for the program, and so he asked me to sit in for him today. So hopefully we'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement as well, and I wanted to share a couple of things out of the Bible and also point out some things that might help you a little bit, hopefully, as we go along here today. And also want to remind you that you can always go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about Bruce Musselman and his ministry. You can also listen to past programs. We upload the programs there, and you can listen to some of his past programs. That's whereisgodsword.com. Also, we have some links to some of the books and materials that Bruce Musselman refers to or recommends from time to time. You can also hear Bruce preaching, and some people aren't aware that Bruce also sings a little, and there's some links to Bruce singing as well as preaching at whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage you to check out that website. All right, well, I want to share a couple of things with you here today, and Bruce likes to have me do a science in the Bible segment, and we're going to hold on that for just a moment. I want to share something here first, and then the reason I want to hold on the Bible and science or science in the Bible segment is that if I get into it, I may forget my other portion. So I'm going to share something here a little bit real quick before we get to that. Bruce Musselman likes to uphold the Word of God and talk about the preservation of God's Word, and that's an important thing. In Psalm 68, I'm going to read a verse here, Psalm 68, and verse number 11, the Bible says, "The Lord gave the Word, great was the company of those that published it." Let me read that again, Psalm 68, verse 11, "The Lord gave the Word, great was the company of them, of those that published it." Now, that's a great passage there, and I think this should encourage Bible-believing Christians to do what they can to publish the Word of God. There's a lot of ministries out there. In fact, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we support a Bible printing ministry down in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. It's called Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and they have a Bible printing ministry. And it's one of several churches around the country here in the United States of America that have Bible printing ministries. They have a whole print shop there. And in that print shop, they print Bibles in a variety of languages. They print Bible portions, whole Bibles, New Testaments, John and Romans. And they print these in various languages, and they make them available to pastors, they make them available to missionaries, they make them available to people around the world. There's another ministry called Bearing Precious Seed that a number of churches participate in, very similar to what is done there at the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Oliver Springs, Tennessee, with their Bible printing ministry. And the whole purpose is God's people coming together to publish and make available the Word of God to people around the world. There's another ministry down, I believe it's Gulfport, Mississippi, called the Beams Ministry, B-E-A-M-S. And they also print and publish Bibles and make them available around the world. I could probably spend the whole half hour just naming off various local church-oriented ministries where Bible-believing Christians are publishing Bibles and making them available around the world. Well, I wanted to share this. This is a very interesting thing, is there's not just in the English language that God wants his Bible to be available, his Word to be available to mankind. He wants it to be available, I believe, in all the languages of the world. And so there's a great effort going on to produce the Word of God in the various languages of the world. And I wanted to share this. It's kind of a blessing to me personally and to our church, because a number of years ago, back in the early 1990s, my wife and I were sent out from our church, which is the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, that I pastor now. But we were sent out as missionaries to the Samoan Islands. And while we were there, we established a new church, church. We called it Grace Baptist Church, and the name has since been changed to Oleola Baptist Church. Oleola referring to the rivers or waters of life. And it's got its own pastor now, and it's doing quite well. Well, as a result of that church plant in American Samoa, there was a young man and his wife that got saved, and they came out of Catholicism. In fact, he had studied to be a Jesuit priest, and she had actually originally intended on being a nun until they got married, but they got saved, and he became the pastor of that work there in American Samoa, and his name is Jim Savali. Well, Brother Savali began praying that God would raise up other people to start other churches in the Samoan Islands, and God touched his heart and called him to be a church planter in the Samoan Islands, and they actually, Brother Savali and his family, went over into the independent country of Samoa, then called Western Samoa, and they planted a church in the village where Brother Jim's wife, Emmy, was from. And in that church, they saw a great number of people from her family and the people in the village come to Christ, and God opened a door to a closed village to allow their church to be planted there. Well, one of the burdens that we had when we were in the Samoan Islands, and one of the burdens that Brother Savali also had, was the preservation of God's Word in the Samoan language. And there were two versions of the Samoan Bible available at the time. One was the 1887 Tusipaia, which was done by some of the original missionaries and such that came to Samoa. In fact, the Samoan language was purely an oral language. They had no written language until missionary John Williams and a Tahitian who spoke the Samoan language arrived. And they established the Samoan alphabet, and they put the Samoan language into writing the first time in order that they might publish the Word of God in the Samoan language. Remember that verse there, Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Well, as they put that into the Samoan language, it sparked a great revival in Samoa. Well, later on, by the time, I think it was about the 1960s or so, there was a move that came about to change the Samoan Bible, and rather than use the 1887 Tusipaia, they replaced it with a new version, not based upon the Antiochian text and the King James as was the 1887 Samoan Bible, but rather upon the Alexandrian text, the corrupt texts that were the basis of the modern versions that we're seeing in the English language. And so it was an inferior Bible to the 1887. So the 1887, by the time that my wife and I had arrived in the Samoan Islands in the 1990s, was not being printed anymore. You could still find copies, but the various people that had the plates were not interested in printing anymore. Well, a long story shortened, I guess. Brother Savali, when he was there on the island of Savai in the village of Asau, had a burden to help rescue the 1887 Bible that was based upon the Antiochian text and the King James Version. And so they tried to get the plates, but the people who had it would not let them have them. And so they embarked upon a rather ambitious project where they took an existing 1887 Bible, and they separated the pages, and they photocopied each page, and then they sent copies of those pages to people all over the place. In fact, my daughter and myself, I actually assisted my daughter, she did the main part of it, had some of those pages, and what we did was we took the Samoan Bible, and we digitized it for the first time. Basically, everybody got the pages, typed it into a program. I don't remember if it was a Word program or exactly what it was, but then once everybody had typed all these pages up, then the pages were reviewed. And one of the great things that happened is over the course of that, there were some spelling errors and some minor errors like that in the 1887 Bible that were actually corrected. And God used Bible-believing Christians to fix those errors and to change, you know, to fix those spelling errors and things. And then when it was all put together, the Psalm 1 Bible, the 1887 Bible, was reprinted by some of these various Bible printing ministries here in the United States. And they rescued the 1887 Tusipai, the Psalm 1 Bible, from potential extinction. And what a tremendous story that is. But the story doesn't end there. For the first time in history, the Psalm 1 Bible, the 1887 Tusipaya, was turned into an online Bible application. In fact, if you've got the online Bible app yourself on your smartphone, you can actually go to it. And it's very interesting because the Psalm 1 people, I mean, they all have smartphones, it seems like. In fact, Brother Savali said that in Samoa, people may not have indoor plumbing or even a regular means of income or even walls on their houses, but they're sure to have a smartphone. And now you can go online, find the online Bible app. You can download the online Bible app, and then you can get the 1887 Tusipaya, the Holy Bible in Psalm 1, file added to your online Bible app. And with that, you actually have a Bible that you can search. You can do searches, have a variety of Bible study tools available to you through that online Bible app. I thought that was just tremendous. A modern day example, something that I had a small part in, my daughter had a small part in, and that's something that people who prayed for this and people who worked on this, they've entered into the blessing that we have here in Psalm 68, verse 11, where it says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." And every Bible-believing Christian should do what they can to publish the Word of God. You say, well, I haven't had the opportunity to be involved in a Bible translation like that or publishing the Word of God like that. But yes, you can. You can proclaim the Word of God to those around you. You can be a witness. You can be a testimony. You can share the gospel with those around you. And in doing so, you too can enter into that great company that published the Word of God that God has given to us. I hope that'll be an encouragement to you to be a witness, to be a testimony. Remember, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Well, I want to get into some science in the Bible here today, and I wanted to touch on Psalm 19 here. Psalm 19 is one of my favorite psalms, and I think this is just a tremendous psalm, and we're going to look at a couple aspects here in the time that we have left. Psalm 19 starts in verse number 1 saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now, this psalm here has a lot of tremendous theological truth in it, but it also has some tremendous scientific truth. And here with these Science in the Bible segments, we like to highlight some of the reasons that you can believe the Bible because of its scientific accuracy. And We understand as we look into this that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And as a result, there's nowhere where you can be in the world that you cannot see evidence of God's glory, the evidence of the Creator God. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And that is true. And there's nowhere in the world that you can go that you can't find some people at whatever language that they speak, whatever religious basis that they have some kind of a creation story, some kind of an idea of a God or something that created the world. And it may not exactly line up with the Word of God, but the fact of the matter is, because they've looked at the sky during the day and the night sky, and they've seen the stars and all, and they've looked at the world around them, and it just cries out that there must be a creator. That's one of the reasons why the Bible says the fool hath declared in his heart, or said in his heart, there is no God. Because you have to be foolish to look at the world around us and look at the sun, the moon, and the stars above us and say there is no God. But as we come down to this one portion here, this is a portion that critics and skeptics say, oh, how can this be true? The Bible says here in Psalm 19, verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Let me pause there for a moment. There's a truth in that statement right there. There is a tabernacle. There's a dwelling place for the sun. The sun is located at the center of our solar system. You say, well, that's obvious, isn't it? Well, yeah, it doesn't wander around the solar system, does it? It stays there. It's always right there in that location. Not only that, astronomers tell us that the sun is located about two-thirds out from the center of the Milky Way galaxy, in one of the spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy. And it's there. It doesn't wander over to the Andromeda galaxy or to another galaxy. It doesn't wander off in space somewhere. It's got a very defined place where it is located. It has a tabernacle, just like the Bible says. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now, here comes a part that people kind of get up in arms over. In verse number 5, it says, talking about the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And they will say, well, doesn't that say that the sun revolves around the earth? We know that's not true. See, the Bible's not true. The Bible is in error here. Well, no, that's not what it says. The Bible says that the sun that has a dwelling place as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, well, the sun is dressed in the incredible brightness and glory of the sun, just as a bridegroom would be dressed in his finery. And charging out, the Bible says, on a circuit, a circular path, it says his goings forth are from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. Now, here's the thing. When the sun comes out and makes this great circuit, it's not talking about the sun revolving around the earth. It's talking about the sun making a great circle around the galaxy itself. In fact, they've calculated that the sun is moving at an exceedingly fast rate. Now, I was looking online just to double check my figures here earlier today, and the sun is moving at about approximately 514,495 miles an hour. That works out to about 8,575 miles a minute, or approximately 143 miles a second. Now, that's fast by any means. That's certainly fast. 143 miles a second, the sun is racing in a great circuit from one end of the heavens to the other in a great circuit around the Milky Way galaxy. Now, how would David have known this when he penned Psalm 19, that the sun was racing in a great circuit and through across the heavens? Now, when we look at this, there's a little phrase in there, a little clause to the one sentence in verse number 5 that I overlooked. I didn't really overlook it. I kind of skipped over it. But let me read verse 5 again, talking about the Son, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Did you catch that? Rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Now, a strong man running a race would involve that he's competing with other strong men running in the same race, which means that some would be going a little faster, some would be going a little slower, some would be going about the same speed. And again, astronomers tell us that all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy, all the stars that are near us in our spiral arm that we're located in the Milky Way galaxy, all of those suns, or all of those stars, like strong men, are running a race. They're racing, some a little faster than the sun's 143 miles a second, some a little slower than the sun's 143 miles a second, some about the same speed as the sun, but they're all racing in a race around the Milky Way galaxy. Now, when you realize that, and you look at the Word of God, Psalm 19, verse 4, 5, and 6 here, where it says, their lines gone out through all the earth, their words the end of the world, in them hath a set a tabernacle for the sun. The sun dwells in the center of the solar system, about two-thirds of the way out from the center of the Milky Way galaxy in a particular spiral arm, which is a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And our sun, in all its finery, is racing with the other suns, just like the Bible said, his goings forth is from one end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Just touch on that last one real quick here. The warmth of the sun permeates throughout the entire solar system. They just had the probe that visited Pluto, the furthest planet from the sun. Actually, they're calling it a planetoid now because it's so much smaller. But even on Pluto, there's a little bit of warmth that impacts Pluto from the sun. When you see a comet coming in, the tail of the comet is because it's encountering the heat given off from the sun, even at those vast distances. It still causes the comet to begin to melt and give off the tail, which we see as the comet. So it's going, his heat, there's nothing hid from it within our solar system. But this is a great testimony to the truth of God's word. But even more so than the scientific accuracy of Psalm 19 here talking about the sun is a beautiful picture of what God has done by giving us the word. And the word of God goes forth, and it's interesting that in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, talking about Jesus Christ being known as the word. And certainly, his goings forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit is unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat of it, the heat thereof. God's word and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like the sun sitting at the center of our universe, sending out its light and its warmth to the far reaches of the solar system. The word of God is sending out the message of salvation, the message of the gospel throughout the whole world, and there's nothing that can be hid from it, and the whole world can hear the truth of the gospel and know that Jesus Christ came to this world that he might live a perfect, holy life, that he might go to the cross where he could shed his blood and die in our place to pay for our sins, that he would be buried and rise again the third day victorious over sin and death. And that we can take that message of salvation to the world around us, that if people will confess their sin and believe that Christ died for them, then they too can have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of a home in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. And Psalm 19 gives us reason to believe that the message of the Bible is true. The science is accurate in Psalm 19. If the science is accurate, then why wouldn't the theology be accurate as well? If we can believe Psalm 19 from a scientific standpoint, we can believe the rest of the Bible from a spiritual standpoint. Let me encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior. Science in the Bible isn't there just to be interesting. It's there to confirm the Word of God. It's there to help us know that we can believe it, that we can rely upon it, that it's truth, that it's God's truth, and it's sufficient for the saving of the soul. Well, I want to thank you for being able to be with you tonight. Bruce Musselman, Lord willing, be with us again next week. And if you want to find out more about Bruce Musselman and his program, Where is God's Word? Be sure and go to the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to past programs. You can also see some more things with Brother Bruce there, as well as some of the books and materials that he recommends. I want to thank you for being with us. God bless. Have a great week. Amen.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.